With changes in place in Senate leadership, can we expect an overhaul to the criminal justice system to follow? I'm Carrie Healy, and this is Beacon Hill in 5, our quick look at the week ahead in politics and government in Massachusetts. We're joined now by Matt Murphy with the State House News Service. Thanks for your time, Matt.
Thanks for having me, Carrie.
Last week, Senate President Harriet Chandler named a new number two, Newton's Cynthia Cream. You know, Chandler had previously held that position when Senator Stan Rosenberg was Senate President. Matt, taking into account Cream's decades of experience, is she bringing some specific expertise to that position?
She certainly is, as you mentioned, now that Senator Chandler has been installed as the permanent Senate President for the remainder of this session. Just this year, she had to round out the leadership team that will help her get the next few months. And by elevating Senator Cream, who was an assistant majority leader, to the majority leader post, which is the number two position in the Senate, she picked someone with nearly 20 years experience working in the Senate, someone who served on the Governor's Council and is also a close confidant. And she specifically noted Cream's past experience and work in the criminal justice arena. And of course, Cream is an attorney. She has specialized in family law and alimony and divorce, and the House and Senate committee negotiating the compromise criminal justice bill has been at it for months. And we know that Speaker DeLeo has said that he hopes to have this wrapped up by May. He has suggested, if not earlier, but certainly this is a top priority, especially given how close they are to getting it done. This is not like healthcare or some of the other priorities that they've identified. Versions of this bill have passed both the House and Senate and are just a compromise agreement away from getting finalized. So I think you'll see a real push to get this done quickly before budget deliberations start to consume all the oxygen on Beacon Hill.
You know, in fact, last week, the Archbishop of Boston, along with the bishops of Springfield, Worcester, and Fall River, together sent a letter to legislative leaders they CC'd the governor, reaffirming their support of specific criminal justice overhaul measures and endorsed the notion of offering second chances to offenders. Was there anything surprising in that letter?
No, I think you saw some reiteration of a lot of the points the groups have been pushing for, including what you mentioned and the idea of diversion and kind of moving away from propensity to simply put people behind bars. And that's kind of a major thrust of the bills that are in conference. Unfortunately, the conference process is one that's very secretive and done quietly and behind closed doors, and we don't know where those talks are right now. Even Speaker DeLeo said to us early last month that sometimes he hears that the talks are going very well, and sometimes he's here, it's not progressing as quickly as he might like. So I think it's a little bit of back and forth. This has always been a tough issue to reach agreement on Beacon Hill, but it does appear that something will get done this year.
This is the time of year when revenues are released. A white paper came out actually last week that identified a potential revenue stream that could yield between $9 and $61 million. That is, if lawmakers legalize sports betting, but not so fast. First, the U.S. Supreme Court has to issue a ruling. When do we expect to get a thumbs up or thumbs down from the Supreme Court? And then, are lawmakers interested in cultivating another form of gambling?
It's hard to say whether or not they're interested. There is some anticipation around this decision. The Supreme Court could issue a decision in the case of Christie versus the NCAA as soon as next week on whether other states, apart from Las Vegas and a few others, can allow sports betting. In Mass, we have people like Rep. Joe Wagner of Chicopee, who chairs the Economic Development Committee, has talked about trying to get ahead of this and at least think through a lot of the issues that would surround this. So if and when the time comes to make a decision, they can make it and know what they're dealing with. But they're just trying to wrap their head around this. And the Gaming Commission tackled it just in a white paper that outlined these issues without taking a position. But there is a significant revenue stream that could be tapped into if they want to go this route.
Matt Murphy is a reporter with the State House News Service in Boston. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Thank you.
Beacon Hill in 5, our weekly check-in at the State House, is now a podcast. You can subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast. This is New England Public Radio.